It's hour one of the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome to Future Tuesday. Before we get too far into the future, one of our guests is actually stuck in traffic on Highway 17 because of a fire on the other side of the hill. Fortunately, not here yet. Hopefully it won't be. And they're routing people through Bear Creek Road from 17. So hopefully you'll make it here by 3 o'clock.
Oh, boy. Fire season is getting close to home here, folks. Yeah. I hope that you have gotten all of your fire preparation done and that you've been making sure you don't have stacks of firewood anywhere near your house and you've uplimbed your trees to 12, 15 feet and you've kept your brush down to a minimum because, boy, are we in for it this summer.
Well, we need some good new fire retardants for the house, too. I would like to be able to, like, pull a cord and have the entire house encased in some fire retardant material.
Oh, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, if not, I mean, not that I would.
Have you seen what they use for fire retardant material?
Foam,
it's this
maybe?
Like, no, it's no. This red applesauce stuff.
No, but, yeah, that's,
I mean, it's
that
like right
pleasant.
Out of a horror movie.
That's true, but we got to use what works, though, eh? That's what we're.
Well, they bring that in after the fire to smother it. And really, the best way is to just keep the fire from getting started in the first place. Be on guard. Make sure nothing's going to spark a fire.
Yeah, no, I worry about that. I think about how I left a fan on at the house.
And it could overheat.
And that's how the Boulder Creek Brewery burnt down.
Right.
Because of a fan, a faulty wiring in a fan.
Oh, dear.
Simple things. You just never know.
You never know.
Make peace with the fire gods and let's continue the show.
Okay. Hopefully y'all have some ice cubes and a good drink and get ready for the future.
Which begins now. The second hour, we're going to be introducing you to a new invention. I think you'll enjoy it.
We're very excited about
it. Yeah, and the inventor is here in the studio for part of our news hour, so we're going to include him in on the news conversation if he feels like it, because he is an innovator and a creator of new technology. Aubrey Anderson. Aubrey Anderson in the studios.
Hello.
Hi, Aubrey.
Welcome to KSCO, Aubrey, and the Dr. Future Show. Appreciate
so
you driving over that road and coming in.
Yeah, it's only Google Maps, by the grace of Google Maps, that I'm here. I took all the possible shortcuts around through Saratoga and
oh, that
Bear
is the
Creek
way
Road.
To come. That's how we always go.
Google, you use too. Google Maps as opposed to Apple's Maps?
So. I do. They have some integrations with other technology like Waze. Which
they use Waze, really?
They Google do, Maps? Yeah. So Waze data goes up in bubbles up into Google Maps. And so if you have the maps on, they're proactive about
I'm going to get you a little closer to the mic here.
Close to the mic.
Yeah, we want to hear that
just
deep
to make
voice.
It easy for you.
Yeah, they're at least on the Android side, they're very proactive about suggesting alternate routes while you're already mapped. And
And Apple's not quite doing that yet, huh?
You know, they're trying. This is the sort of the thing with Apple and cloud services. Like the most heartbreaking thing, I think, this decade that we'll look back on and really always lament is when Apple and Google kind of became enemies. Hmm. So like in the early days of the iPhone, it was excellent because you had Apple making user interface and beautiful workflows and user-centric thoughts into the hardware and the software.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Google doing the plumbing, which is really what they do best.
Yeah, the best of both worlds at that
point. It was awesome, yeah. And since the Android era, we've seen this kind of split between those two companies, and they've both suffered from it, and we've suffered from it. Now you either have to slog through crummy Android UI or be disconnected from the people who are the best, cloud services and artificial intelligence and predictive modeling and all that stuff that Google does so well. I now carry two devices around for exactly
just
that
one
reason.
For elegance and one for speed.
Yeah, there's the cool one and the one that is functional.
Yeah, you know, I hesitate to ask you if your new device solves this problem, but perhaps we should save that for the second hour.
Yeah, we can save it for the second hour.
But you're getting an idea that where Aubrey's coming from here. He's beginning to think about this whole design of the smartphones and whether or not there might, you know, maybe there might be some other alternative that we might embrace.
But I'll just take a little stab in the dark here. Aubrey, you tell me that you're a Santa Cruz local, that you grew up here.
Really?
Were you ever involved with like SEO and
Santa Cruz operations?
No, see, I was just a kid here. I lived here from 75 through 81 or 2.
And still a little ahead of the,
back a couple
the
times.
Unix development teams.
Missed the Berkeley Standard Distribution as well.
Oh, yeah. Which part of town did you live in?
We used to live on Mott Street. I think it's called Mott Avenue now, which is just off of East Cliff Drive.
East Cliff, okay. Near the surfing?
Just right by Seabright Beach. I was literally across the street from Seabright Beach my whole childhood. It was amazing.
Wow.
Well, see, good things grow in Santa Cruz. And then they go see the world.
Yeah, well, that's part of it.
Yeah.
You grow the seeds and the seeds distribute.
Absolutely.
Well, certainly this has been our... This station, by the way, was ground zero for the earthquake in 89.
Uh-huh, amazing.
In terms of disasters, this place survives because the whole KSCO is floating on a 2-inch thick rubber mat.
Really? So it just jiggled on the mat and didn't fall over?
Didn't fall over. It was designed in 1947 as a building built for radio.
Wow.
You know, that's why this room is so big, you know, to encompass a band.
And that's why this radio station is the place to tune in during any kind of natural disaster. I mean, this place, you cannot believe what an emergency relief center it becomes in wildfires, traffic accidents, earthquakes. I mean,
very cool.
Generator backups, all that kind of stuff.
Well, hopefully we'll not have to understand that any better than we
Yes, let's hope we can just rest on our laurels and not have to have any more emergencies in the future.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so it's time for our first break, and then we're going to be back with more of the Dr. Future Show here on KSCO. Stay tuned.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. There are actually two stories on Mars this morning, or this afternoon, or wherever you are listening.
You mean on the Dr. Future Show website? DrFutureShow.com, you can read about Mars.
DrFutureShow.com/links, and you'll be able to see the latest links for the news articles today, or what we consider important.
And if you're listening live as opposed to the podcast, which will be posted tomorrow, you can call in with comments and questions at 831-479-1080. So let's talk about Mars.
Okay.
Let's link to Mars, Dr.
Okay, there was a sick burn this morning, according to space.com. NASA fired off a test of a next-generation rocket engine where literally thousands of onlookers went out to Promontory, Utah, and a test of the engine that will be powering our spaceships to Mars. It's NASA's Space Launch System, SLS rocket booster.
I see.
And flame it. What was interesting about it, watching it, was that it lasted 2 solid minutes. Amazing. Just 2 solid minutes of just blasting high energy.
And I suppose they're not having a heat wave in Utah?
Well, I guess they were. That's probably why they did it early in the morning.
I mean, I don't even like to cook eggs in the morning in this kind of weather, you know? I can't stand the extra heat in the house, and we're testing rockets
well,
for
you look
2 minutes?
Look at the video here. They have the audience quite a ways away, so they don't want to get them fried. We had dealt with that ourselves. Remember when they blew up the NASA rocket dump at Burning Man 1 year?
Oh,
they had 5,000 pounds of NASA rocket fuel.
There was
fuel
a magnesium fire that went for like days.
No,
What could go wrong?
No, in this case, there was a group that was doing a end of oil art piece.
They built
a giant oil derrick out in the middle of the desert. And it was a great platform for looking at Burning Man for a while from the air. You could climb up and see a nice view. And then, of course, as many art projects end at Burning Man, it was burnt. This time, instead of just lighting it on fire, they did a huge pyrotechnics display for about half an hour and then lit up the 5,000 gallons of NASA rocket fuel.
Wow.
And they call it the end of oil.
And I'll tell you, the
amazing
acoustics for that, it was an operatic form of war. It's like the soundtrack was a live soundtrack that was completely a musical version of fireworks going off. Really was so strange to be listening to. explosions as music during the end of Oil Burn. It was quite a show.
And we were about half a mile away, and we could still feel the heat just hit us like in a blast. So I'm sure that was the case here in Promontory, Utah, when NASA was testing out their new engine. Mm-hmm. They called it the Motor 2, or QM2. And it's the last engine test before NASA's Exploration Mission 1, or EM1, to Mars. It'll be an uncrewed Orion capsule. It'll go beyond the orbit of Earth initially and go past the orbit of the moon as well. I guess the first test, they're not going to take it all the way to Mars, but they're just going to try to get out of lunar orbit.
Oh, really? So NASA's going to try and do some relaunchables? NASA's going to get into recycling their rockets?
They're all going to get better.
Well, joining the club.
That's their new sustainability program.
The new sustainability program. How to make our $12 billion go a little further.
It was delayed about an hour because of computer issues regarding the sequence of events. You can now watch it from our website or look at it. Just search for the sick NASA burn on YouTube.
That's the link.
You should find it.
So we do have a caller anytime that you feel it's appropriate to say hello.
Okay, well, that's the end of that story. I've got another Mars story, but let's take the caller between Mars.
All right. Hello, Richard from Felton. Are you interested in Mars?
Or fire?
Or fire? Or what's on your mind?
Are you a Brexit guy?
Having learned a bunch of planetary science over the years,
yeah.
It's like it's a sum negative, and it's just going to absorb money and effort. And what are we ever going to get out of it? Our planet is broiling. What are we going to do, run to Venus and find out what happened to Venus? Why are we going to go to Mars or spend any money or time other than just throwing money out there to get some type of technological return on investment?
Can I give you a comment to that? Can I give you my attitude,
okay.
My point of view? That sounds to me very much like probably the mainstream Europeans before Christopher Columbus got money for 3 sailing ships from Queen Isabella. You know, it's like, why do we want to go explore the rest of the universe? Why do we want to leave home?
Come on, we got a lot of problems in Spain.
They got spices. That's the whole reason America got discovered, right? That's
Mars
the whole reason you
too.
Love to eat
spice, Martian
but
spice.
We might find some new spices up there in Mars.
Well,
Mars
anyway,
is useless. It's
we're not trying to
rock.
Escape the Earth. We're trying to improve
civilization. Well, what do you think the Earth is? Let's get some water, maybe. You know,
Mars is a bunch of useless rocks. Who wants to look at it?
Well,
that's a really good segue to our next link. Thank
well,
you
there
very
is,
much.
There is Ceres. Ceres is more water on Ceres than on this planet. And if that water is moved to Mars, then Mars becomes much more habitable.
Yeah,
very quickly.
Actually,
and it's very close to Mars.
We have covered the discovery of those asteroids that are, you know, 500 miles in diameter and have as much water in one asteroid as we have on the surface of Earth.
And the platinum-filled asteroids could pay for it all.
Yeah. I mean, the universe is vast and huge, and it's just up to us to figure out how to become part of it.
Yeah.
You know, how to expand our reach.
Thinking as a solar system citizen as opposed to simply a planetary citizen. But that's a big leap because we're not even thinking planetary citizens yet. We're still pretty much on nation state identities at this point in time. But that could shift fast.
All right. So do you want to say anything else? Richard's still on the line.
Yeah. Okay, Richard. So you asked a classic question and there are a lot of other answers.
He was specifically talking about food. And that I was thinking.
Oh, that's
was
right.
Your,
you were thinking of the other article, the food. Did you see? We have a very interesting piece on that, and reminiscent of the scene on The Martian. Have you seen that film?
You seen the film The Martian?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, yes. Have you seen that film?
I studied everything that was said about it from scientists like NPR and stuff. I've been following it. I am a science guy, I'm an IT guy, Silicon Valley, gone way back just like y'all. Even took a class at the SCO Unix over there you guys are just talking about. So, but anyway, I just think we have to focus all of our assets. This global warming thing's not a joke. I'm a scuba diver. I've been seeing this coral dying ever since the late 80s, but I hear very, very little about it. Just recently, we're talking about the destruction of the Great Barrier Reef, one of the great 7 wonders of the world. But apparently nobody talks about it.
Well, actually, lots of people do talk about all this stuff, and I don't know if you listen to our show regularly.
Yes,
but
I do.
We are in the school of what can we do about it? How can we make a positive contribution? We are burdened by the bad news, because bad news is pretty much the only thing that makes it to the public airwaves. We are living in an information miracle of reality. Anything that humanity focuses our attention on, we have more tools available than ever before to deal with it. We have research, we have science, we have communications, we have all kinds of decision-making structures. So it really comes down to how do we humanize our approach to the problems that we face and not drive ourselves crazy worrying about them.
Okay, can I ask you one simple question as a degreed systems analyst, Fortune 100s and all that other stuff? Not that it makes any difference, but all I ever saw in so-called helping people and getting paid a lot of money for it in Silicon Valley is just showing people's lives to go away. In other words, now your high school diploma is useless, your GED is useless. Well, like me, go get an IT or CS degree, EE, whatever. It essentially becomes useless while you got H-1Bs coming in. So you have all this technological influx. It just seems like a rape factor for how fast can we drive ourselves to the bottom. And you guys, as much as I love it, and that's what I did, spent most of my life in technology, is I also see the negative side of it. So just like the missus just said, not only do you have to see the positive, but I think you guys also need to see the negative. I used to work in the military stuff and all that. There's huge negative stuff that's coming down on.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think we need to get beyond it. Right?
Do you think exploration and destruction are related, though?
Yes, they are. That's getting beyond it. That's right.
Okay. Yeah, and it's
but
not
anyway,
even...
Anyway, how much,
thanks,
how much money,
hey,
how much money do you think we're wasting on going to Mars versus solving global warming? Can you guys quantify that?
It's not an either-or thing.
We can do both.
Yeah, we can do both. It's the end is near, as St. Silicon has so often says. The end is near.
Yeah, money is not the limiting factor. Money is something that we manufacture to achieve our intentions. So it really has much more to do with our intentions than it has to do with not having enough of this abstract, imaginary measurement.
Yeah, so help us
money.
Help us think up some good experiences
but
for all of us
for
to
the
have.
Comments. Yeah. We've got to go to our next break.
The money
so thank
is driving,
you.
Military is driving the money. The yeah. UC scientists are being hired by the military.
I know, it's a difficult one, but we can get beyond this. There are other options.
You
will see.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. You know, there's one of the groups that is taken by many of the serious scientists as less than serious, is a force called Mars One. You heard of Mars One?
Didn't we cover Mars One when they first decided to announce that they wanted to be the first people to get to Mars, and they held a reality show contest, sort of like a survival?
It is a reality show. It's a European-oriented reality show
to get to Mars.
Right,
out of Netherlands, I think,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Netherlands. I guess the Brits aren't part of it anymore. It's all about having a base on Mars in 10 years. They're looking at 2026. That's when they want to have their base.
Aggressive timeline.
Aggressive, yeah.
So the reality show has started? They're like training their Martian astronauts?
Yeah, they've chosen. They've had open calls for people to come in and say why they want to go to Mars. And they've picked from like thousands of applicants, a handful to go. And now they're looking at what are they going to eat there? How are you going to feed people on Mars?
Tricky.
Yeah,
and
jerky.
Not just potatoes.
No, well, yeah, that's why I mentioned to our last caller whether or not he had seen The Martian, because Mark Watney did a great job with potatoes in his hab.
Yes, he really knows his compost.
That's it. But what's the reality of this? Well, not to be outdone by the Martian, the Mars One folks have done some actual experiments with faux minerals and soil.
Simulated Martian soil,
right. Mm-hmm. Approved by NASA, I believe. Mm-hmm. And simulated lunar soil as well. They're not just testing for Mars. They're doing lunar soil.
Yeah, everybody is treating the moon like it's going to be like the Motel 6 on the way to Mars.
Yeah, who wants to go to the moon?
That's harvest moon, right?
That's harsh.
Harvest moon. I like that. Yeah. You should definitely go when the moon is bigger, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, but you'll get more stuff.
Yeah. More light, possibly warmer, although mm-hmm. I think the warm side of the moon is a little too warm.
Yeah.
Warmer than you want for plants.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of possibilities for the moon, to be honest. It's good. And well, you know what kind of stuff they've been trying to grow on Martian and lunar soil?
Let's see.
Please
things
say
that
marijuana.
Are red. Oh, there you go.
That'd pay for it all. rye, radishes, garden cress, and pea seeds. Also, a crop of tomatoes and potatoes.
Okay. Well, there you go. Sounds a bit boring after a while, but definitely some solid nutrition there.
Yeah, well, they confirmed that seeds would germinate in the simulated soil. And then they tested to see if the seeds from the harvest would germinate in the same soil to create another harvest, you know, to see if it could do a whole farmer cycle. Mm-hmm. And what they found was quite encouraging. In all the cases, when they did four different experiments, the seeds managed to germinate nicely, very nicely, in both Martian and lunar soil.
What are you going to do about the temperature? And what are you going to do about how far away the sun is?
Well, you know, hydroponics is a big thing. We're really good at creating artificial grow environments. And I think there were grow walls for growing food. Mm-hmm. So,
nearer term, though, Martian marijuana would probably fund the project if they, you know, just as a marketing thing.
There you go. Yeah,
grown in Martian soil.
Who would not want that?
Isn't one of the big deals on Mars that we need, like, more oxygen in the air? Like, don't we need...
There's very little.
Yeah.
Though there's lots of oxygen in the ground, we think.
I see you've been paying close attention.
Yeah.
And two news flashes. One, our fellow guest has just arrived, fresh from the fires.
Yeah, hold on. Let's get you
and
picked up.
I just want to let you know that a recent caller has been patiently waiting for the last...
All right. Okay. Oh, by one other thing, Richard sent in a message saying that we could melt the ice caps of Mars and have a ocean 20 feet deep.
Yes, but
60
that would be
feet
very
deep. 60
invasive.
Feet deep.
You know, I mean, actually, Elon Musk proposed mm-hmm. that we just detonate a nuke
on the
North Pole mm-hmm. okay. to create a catalytic reaction.
Right.
To
and when each of these would be considered abhorrent things to do from an Earth perspective, but you got to think planet on a larger scale here. Anyway, welcome, Mark.
Thanks,
Mark Buchanan.
Hey, survived the 17 crash. Was there? Did you see the fire off of 17?
You know, I routed out to Bear Creek and I got around it and saved 10 minutes or so.
Really? So you didn't have to go all the way to Boulder Creek to come to here?
No.
And where is that fire?
Around. I think it's close to the summit.
Summit.
It was a lot of traffic, boy, and I hope everything's okay up there.
Yeah, well, welcome. Glad you made it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Thanks. We're just going through the news, this segment of the show.
All right, fantastic.
And we've been talking about Mars and all the new Mars news today.
Yeah, I've been listening in the car, so I'm
awesome.
With you.
Okay, and we have a caller?
Yes, we do. Hello. My notes say that you are Jetro Corralitos, and you're talking about solar activity. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, I just really enjoy this program.
Okay,
I really learn a lot listening to you folks. And reminds me of the movie with Tom Cruise called Oblivion.
You guys are
an effective team.
Thank you.
Somebody's got to feel safe on this planet. I mean, there's dangers lurking around every door, but danger is not the only thing that moves the needle in terms of reality.
You know? It's doing fun things about it. That's half the battle.
It's not that we're oblivious. We just feel that the alternative needs to be explored, and nobody in the media is doing that.
Well, we hope to have more companies soon. I think we have a tremendous capability of doing anything we want once we have our mindset to it, especially as a nation, as a group, as a species. Let's do something really great.
What is your take on the solar activity? There's a lot of talk about something strange going on with our sun.
Right now? Oh, that's news to me. I've mostly heard that it's been a very quiet solar cycle. Let me do a quick search on that, see if I can find anything for you. Soul Cycle Activity. Yeah, the big news, current solar cycle is the weakest in a century. So let me try doing a Google News search on, see if we get a little bit more info for you.
I hope it's not blanking out on us.
It's probably not winding down.
Not in our lifetime. I think you got to hang out a few more billion years.
No, in terms of news aggregation, let's see, the latest news is June. The sun's gone blank and we could be heading for a mini ice age. Is that what, maybe that's the one you're thinking of?
But that's it.
Oh, boy, we could really use one about now.
The sun's gone blank. You know, that means that we should have way more solar activity than we're getting. And we're not getting many sunspots. But I don't necessarily see that as a reason to freak out about it and think that we're going to suddenly go into an ice age. I could be wrong, but I would say that's sensationalist news.
Anyway, I think we may well find ourselves over the next 50 years in a world that is very unlike the past in terms of how we're going to have to manage ourselves and manage our resources and grow food and manage our lifestyle. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't look forward to it with enthusiasm and do the best we can.
It says going blank is a fancy way of saying that the sun doesn't have any sunspots on it. That's the basic, and it's perfectly normal. But it does have implications over the long term. If it keeps up for a long time, then it could mean a change in weather. So that's it. We can relax and move on to things that are actually going on in the world today.
The sun is resting.
Yeah, it's taking a break.
Taking a break, like we all should sometimes. All right, thanks for that, Jethro. Appreciate the call.
Okay. Yeah, so that's pretty much what I have in space news. There was an interesting piece that came out about the, let's see, what is it? There's a group that's been doing the World Economic Forum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a very interesting piece.
Favorite article in the Slate today, actually.
Yeah, I wanted to get some of that in while we're here.
I just love thinking about new things that are going to be helping us have a better future.
The World Economic Forum has an annual list of breakthrough technologies that will affect us all. And I posted the list of this year's breakthrough technologies. It's something most of which we have talked about on the show at various times. The top 10 technologies they mention are nanosensors and the Internet of Nano Things.
Nanosensors.
Yeah.
And
that's one of the big things they see as a trend. And that as the Internet of Things matures and we have 30 billion connected devices by 2020, what are they going to do as they're connected? Well, one of the things is to have sensors in the human body, nanosensors, that circulate in the blood and embedded in construction materials. Once we connect to those, then we'll keep tabs on what's happening in our body on a moment-by-moment basis and on what's happening on bridges, like the infrastructure of our country can be easily managed when we know stresses and strains in real time. You know, we can see that a bridge is beginning to fail. We'll know.
We're going to have like the rust molecules send out like a little signal to the paint technicians to come and fix the bridge. That's right.
We'll have the whole ecosystem in place that'll just fix it. Called the Internet of Nano Things.
There's a small battery problem.
Like we don't have any nano batteries?
Not so much.
Yeah. Oh. Batteries always seem to be lagging.
Yeah.
What is it about batteries?
It's just
batteries are tough, man.
Chemical science, man.
Yeah. Well, you think? No, chemistry, yeah. Gooey stuff? I have an idea for you. Like, what about the idea that batteries represent the concept of moving too slow? Like, the whole idea that you have to store something instead of just, like, make what you need and then let the rest go.
Yeah, maybe you can get the energy like out of the body. Like there's some pacemakers, you know, they usually need a battery.
Well,
you know that run off of the heartbeat. They actually run off the heartbeat itself to gather the energy, and then they put it back in to keep it going.
Yeah, how about running off of body fat?
That would be really good. Yeah, there you go. Right? Yeah.
It's time for a break, but let's keep talking about this when we come back, folks. You are listening to the Dr. Future Show here on KSCO.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. I've been potted down a little bit to keep it balanced with everybody else here.
Hey, we just gave you some decibel adjustment.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
You'll love it.
So it's interesting you mentioned batteries, both of you there, because the very next thing in the list of technical breakthroughs for this year from the World Economic Forum is battery tech, next generation batteries. And they say one of the greatest obstacles of today is batteries. But recent advances in energy storage using sodium, aluminum, and zinc-based batteries make mini-grids feasible. So that means that your village can have its own power generation and storage a battery around the clock. Neighborhood battery systems.
Is that like a power wall, a Tesla power wall for
it's
your village?
It's kind of related to that.
That's a lithium battery.
We are into personal power supplies for our houses, right? And I think it's going to go more than just a local power grid. I think the power grid is a viable concept, but the power from each house makes a lot of sense to me. The whole surface of anything that hits the sun in your property should be able to generate power.
Yeah, right.
For sure.
I think when you're talking about the future, what is the best scale, right? When electricity first got invented, it started with everybody putting in their own battery in their own house. And then it became this big mess of wires going everywhere. And then somebody decided they could scale it better by doing it for the local town. And so they started putting in town municipalities.
Tesla with alternating current as opposed to direct current from Edison.
And Tesla's model, Tesla has the home unit, then he has the factory unit, then he has the city unit, he's really saying
So it all started with individual units at each house at the beginning?
Yeah, battery was
Alexander
a
water-based
thing that
Benjamin
stuck
Franklin.
A metal plate into
batteries.
And everybody could make their own. And
it's still the way to go.
Coming back around, the old is new again.
First idea was the best.
thought, best thought, right?
I wonder if we'll see any biomimicry in battery design. Like, how do we get energy? We get energy from mitochondria in every single cell, human cell. So perhaps we might have the equivalent of a mitochondrial power source.
I think sunbathing is going to be really popular.
Right, charge up.
Direct to source.
Right.
Like plants.
Sunbathing. Well, there are several artificial leaves that we've talked about.
Gather the sunlight like a leaf does.
Photosynthesis as a way of generating energy.
Artificially created?
Man-made leaves.
Wow, that's kind of smart.
They're driving bacterial reactions, I think, and then you can basically engineer the bacteria to do whatever you want.
Very groovy.
Solid technology, but won't store power.
It just makes it.
Storage
you're still
is
stuck
important.
With the battery problem.
Well, again, storage may not be as essential as matching generation to use.
Mm-hmm. Use
like
with
it's
need?
A design issue. Right.
Just in time power supply.
Just in time.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
With a little bit of storage.
Well, got to be a little storage in there. It's just one of those.
Just
things.
A little storage. Like the human body has a storage. How long could we live without eating? A week?
About a week, I think.
About a week, so we have better need.
About half a day, an hour for me.
How long can you live without eating?
Yeah. That's not when you get grumpy. That's when you actually start to shut down.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Shut down. System shut off. Water is more significant for us, right?
Exactly.
And then breathing is the most significant.
Very popular, that breathing.
Okay, here's one you guys might know more about. The blockchain. The World Economic Forum thinks the blockchain is a big breakthrough. They say, quote, "Much has been made of the distributed electronic ledger behind the online currency Bitcoin. Now with related venture capital exceeding $1 billion in 2015 alone, the economic and social impact of blockchain's potential to fundamentally change the way markets and governments work is only now emerging." Mm. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's a thing. Anytime you can take something that's centralized and distribute it, it's a win. So there are lots and lots and lots of detail problems, but I think the currency is a huge drag, and the idea that we don't have a global currency is pretty dumb.
And so this kind of makes that happen.
Well, and currency is just one example that you could operate in a similar way, but it's sort of like BitTorrent for reality.
Yeah, that's what I thought of. The blockchain is the idea that the books are open and anybody can trust the accounts. Even if you can't know exactly who else has the money, you know that the ledger is accurate and a whole bunch of people are holding the keys.
Mm-hmm. Right? Algorithmic inferral.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. The way I see it is it empowers economic democracy, because the way that the smartphones in everybody's pocket give every single person the ability to generate their own cloud server and manage their own economic relationships with the power of AI is going to plug into a system where the blockchain allows personal markets. You know, like people who are trading with each other are the only ones who have to have access to their currency.
Yeah, right? Closed. It's a distributed system. You could track it back to batteries because all of that stuff is computationally very expensive, which means that somewhere there are racks of servers humming away, eating power and generating heat.
Calculating the blockchain for the Bitcoin, how much energy it takes to calculate it is part of the whole design.
Yeah, right? It's big. I think it's all tracked back to like really big primes factoring out for big primes.
I thought the whole limitation of the blockchain system was that it is such a small number of possible codes given the size of the currency that we need to manage for our population. So it's inherently tiny. Mm-hmm. And really the inefficiency that leads to these inefficiencies of computing could be managed by having fewer participants in the pool.
Yeah, smaller networks.
Yeah, smaller networks of people who are actually trading with each other, not people who just want money in their pockets for the sake of having money in their pockets.
Yeah, the VC community is going to hate that, though.
Oh, well, it's on the list. Can I say, let's get through this list here. We've got a few more.
Okay, that was only the third economic forum.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We can waste some time on tech topics.
Yeah, I'm going to switch over to my favorite, autonomous vehicles.
Autonomous vehicles.
They see that as number five. And they're not quite legal, or they're not really legal yet.
Sort of, maybe, coming in the middle.
And they're considered that they will save lives, they will cut pollution, they will boost economies, they will improve the quality of life for the elderly and people who don't drive, the handicapped, and other segments of society that have transportation issues. And it will lead to a rapid deployment of full autonomy very quickly. That's their prediction.
It's going to be a whole different kind of world. All of a sudden,
everyone will have taxi service, basically.
Yeah,
at their
fingertips. You won't learn how to drive when you're 16 anymore, or own a car eventually,
just a little reality check. Another headlines that you have today talks about the fact that most people who are driving cars are not interested in fully autonomous cars because that scares them. They're interested in autonomy assist features.
Well, that's because it allows them to drive longer. Older people want to be able to drive longer. And I believe if you read further down in the article that we linked to, it talks about how autonomous cars will basically be approved by the elderly, especially because they'll be able to drive for as long as they're mobile. And they won't drive. They will be able to go to places.
Well, it's sort of like enhanced cruise control, but people still have the idea that they're in charge. Yeah. But ultimately, when there are more autonomous vehicles on the road than there are enhanced cars on the road, those enhanced cars are going to be more dangerous than the autonomous ones. But there is going to be a gradual transition.
I saw this crazy, crazy picture of a person in a Tesla Model S, in traffic, basically, and like they're completely asleep, knocked out, head against the window, and
is this
completely
a
unconscious. No, it was totally real.
This is real.
It was a blue Tesla. They're like completely asleep. The car is just kind of like, stopping for the one car in front of them.
We're almost there, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so autonomy's coming. It's going to come fast and furious. And
I think it's going to come fast.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can't wait for cities. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to change the city. I understand there's a city in China designed around them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it changes the whole concept of design for when you consider how you'd actually have 90% less cars on the road.
Oh, my God.
Or actually not on the road, but
in existence.
In existence. Oh, you only need 10% of the cars to give everyone
10% of the cars, meaning less parking spaces, less roads in general, less parking tickets. I mean, it's going to be so disruptive. Mm.
And then there's several companies, including one here in Santa Cruz, that are creating flying drones that carry people. So you have a flying taxi service.
Isn't that called a helicopter?
Yeah, but it's very expensive. You have to be Trump right now to afford one of those things.
He's just pick you up under your arms and sort of
by the scruff of the neck, like a kitten. Yeah. Right?
There you go.
I want to use my local transit card.
All right, Dr. Future, you got like a minute and a half to get through your next seven.
Okay. Organs on a chip. Organs on a chip. Miniature models of human organs on a size of a memory stick. revolutionize medical research and drug discovery. It'll allow you to see biological mechanisms, and you'll be able to study all kinds of details about them without actually having to hurt people or do a lot of medical research on living beings. The small organs. You can try stuff on them.
A liver on a chip, huh?
OpenAI also. OpenAI is another big thing.
It's a big Elon thing, right?
Well, yes, because AI, there's some closed AI, kind of like Siri is kind of a closed AI. Mm. Google's a closed AI, but there are OpenAI standards coming out now, which will make it much more available for people to add to. To evolve, and that could be really powerful.
Wasn't it sort of more the danger thing that Elon was worried about?
That's why he's investing in it, so he can keep a track of it. You can't stop it,
right?
You know, you can't be afraid. You really have to look at how you can.
That's right.
You can only open source it.
Yeah,
that's why you open source it. That's right.
Exactly. Okay, we'll be back. We're going to share with you a brand new invention after the news here. Something you really appreciate and you'll want.